Ready?
Welcome to
Overbooked and Opinionated,
your favorite best friend book club podcast
with Liz
and Pooh
and Gammy.
Yeah,
dude. Friendly reminder.
Oh my goodness. All right, just a quick reminder before we start, we are rated R. We are not for the faint of heart or the young of ear. I don't even know what I just said. Not the children. Just be mindful of who's listening with you. We are adults who say adult things about adult books. We will be talking about sexy time and we will use coarse language because we are coarse people. You've been warned.
Can I do it now?
Yeah, you can do it now.
Fuck.
Dude, we earning that explicit tag. Here we go.
Yeah, dude, let's do it. Guys, what the fuck are we doing today?
Bitches be yapping.
It's a yapathon, babe. It's a yapathon.
Pooh, tell the people what we're yapping about.
Today we're going to yap about Butcher and Blackbird.
Woohoo!
Butcher and Blackbird. Butcher and Blackbird.
By Bryn Weaver.
Yeah, we love you, Bryn. You crazy bitch.
You crazy bitch.
So, guys, I think if we're going to talk about Butcher and Blackbird, we have to talk about these trigger warnings.
These are wild.
It is trigger warning time. This book is definitely rated R. This is a really dark romance. Really dark romance with some horror themes, which I think is why I loved it so
but
much.
But it's somehow still a comedy?
Yeah. I don't know if I would call it dark romance.
No. Really?
It's got really mature themes and it's got some shit.
It's more of like a thriller rom-com. I don't think I'm specified as dark.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I guess I'm just wrong. So
depends on your definition of dark.
Yeah. Correct. The book does come with its own set of trigger warnings and content warnings. I'm going to just read about two of my favorites. There is cannibalism in this book, and she makes a point to mention not so accidental cannibalism. As well as accidental cannibalism. Guys, what the fuck? She also apologizes for cookies and cream ice cream. And those are my two favorites, guys.
You know, I had actually managed to forget about that specific part of the book until we recapped this book for recording this episode. Now I'm not going to be able to eat it for another 6 months. Thank you, Bryn Weaver. Thank you for ruining cookies and cream ice cream.
I didn't really eat it in the first place.
Lucky bitch.
So let's get into our spoiler-free review of this book. This book does definitely have some mature themes, like we've already mentioned. We follow our female main character and a male main character.
Yeah,
dual POVs throughout the book, which is really, really interesting. Quick note, I listened to this book on audio. So I was blessed with a thick Irish accent throughout each of the male main characters' POVs. And oh my God, it was amazing.
I'm really glad you said Irish accent after the word thick there. I was a little concerned.
Thick.
Okay. So Gammy, tell us, what did you rate this book? Because you were the one who got us to read this one.
Yep, this was a Gammy recommends. I brought you all along for the journey, and I am not sorry. I'm just going to apologize, but no, because it was incredible. I listened to this book, and I listened to my audiobooks on 2x speed. I slowed it down for this one, guys. I listened to this at normal speed because the accent was so good. The narration was incredible. This book got a 5-star rating for
Holy
me,
shit.
Okay? And I think the audio version really took it over the top for me. I think the audio version is why this book got a 5 stars.
That's it? We're just getting your star rating?
What else you want to know, babe?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this book. The comedy in it, like the not taking themselves so seriously thing during like very serious themes, that is my shit. Like that is my humor wrapped up. You guys also know that I love horror books, and this had a lot of horror themes in it, which I loved. I thought it was so good. I loved the romance. It was so cute. It had a lot of like some of our favorite tropes in it. friends to lovers. It had touch him or her and you die. And then it was just so good. Definitely gave Black Cat and Golden Retriever energy. It was perfect, guys. Like, their romance was perfect to me. Her relationship with her best friend was perfect for me. Even like the cringiest parts, it was just so good. And you know what? I'm going to take it there. This book really explored some like challenging world views, which is a little like, okay, Amanda, shut up. But like, it's very interesting because we saw these people that weren't all good, but they really weren't bad either. They did some questionable things, highly questionable things. But they were like doing it for reasons that they felt were good. And so it really made it like, oh, these characters are three-dimensional. Like, they are interesting and very complex characters. And I enjoyed it. I really liked it.
All right. You want to go next?
It don't matter.
Do it, Pooh. Do it.
I gave this book 4 stars. I loved most of the book. The thing that the thing I remember the most, feeling like she could have done more with was the end with David. There was no shock factor to that for me. I almost immediately, like, as soon as Sloane was like, we're going to take him home, we'll take care of him, I was like, that's
so there's a spoiler.
Just a tiny one.
I mean, if you're, you know, watching this and you haven't read it, that's on you. it was a great start because now obviously I've read the second one, but I liked the brothers. Like, I liked all of the relationships outside, even just them two. Yeah. I liked Sloane and Lark. I even kind of wish like there was more of them too in the first book.
She's so selfish. She gets a whole second book.
Yeah.
No, but their relationship together.
Them two together. Yeah. Because I don't feel like in the second book she brought it, you know, she gave the two of them enough attention.
Okay. You get a couple texts between them, but you don't see their friendship. It's about their romance.
And I love the brothers. I love them, the three of them, and like their different personalities and how well they went together. Yeah.
Solid. Liz?
So I gave this a 3, 3.5 star.
Listen,
that's high for me for a romance. First of all, I'm not a pure romance reader. Like, they're not books I gravitate towards. The vast majority of romances that I've read have been because of this book club and these two. Oh my god, Gabby, let me cook.
Let her cook.
I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed this far more than the average romance. I loved their relationship. I loved the best friend into lovers trope. It felt very natural, their relationship. And I really liked I don't think it's a spoiler to say they're serial killers. It's on the back of the book.
Yeah.
The fact that they're both serial killers was really fun. Like, it was a really weird but really interesting thing for protagonists of a book to be, and like, I'm a big fan of Dexter. I love that TV show, but like, this took it at a whole weird wacky angle. Like, I don't know how a book about a romance between serial killers was a rom-com, but it was, and it was amazing. I was disgusted and like, oh, at the same time, like,
and like, god damn, it was so hot.
Ooh, the smut, man, the smut.
There were so many emotions.
There was a lot of emotions in this book.
Put us through it.
Yeah. Her Instagram is sending me. Like, if you guys don't follow Bryn Weaver on Instagram, you guys need to, because she just posts pictures of herself as the devil, and it's accurate.
And she actually is. Yeah. Like, it's legitimate.
And this is, like, in the best way. We're obsessed with her. But no, it was really fun. It was really great. I, of course, like, I had a few issues with it, but, like, they're really minor. Overall, I really, really enjoyed this story. So, Gammy's doing the quick math.
All right, guys. So, we have an average star rating of my recommended book, Butcher and Blackbird, of a 4.2. A 4.2 for overall rating. I think that's pretty good for the three of us. Like, that's pretty good.
That seems very high.
I know. And I know it's my fault. But also, I had the privilege of listening to it. Guys, even if you read it and like read it physically, you should listen to it too. Because it's a completely different fucking experience. Okay. It's amazing.
I feel like you need to go download the audiobook.
Yeah, you should. Go take a bath.
Yeah. Yo.
Well, that was the end of our spoiler-free review. If you have not read this book yet, guys, now is the time. It's time to leave us. I'm sorry, babe. It's okay. We still love you. Come back once you finish it.
It's a cool thing about podcasts. We'll be here when you've read it.
Just pause it.
Yeah.
You're good. We won't take offense. Come back when you're done, though, bitch, because we got to talk. Okay? Get your ass back here. You heard? Last warning. Last fucking warning.
Guys, Bryn Weaver, we have to talk about the ice cream.
Bryn!
We have to talk about the ice cream. I'm not okay.
There's so much crazy shit in this book?
I'm looking at you. You ruined cookies and cream ice cream for me, and I'm still not okay about it.
I don't even think it was the cookies and cream ice cream. Like, I'm down.
Not bothering
I'm
me.
Down with some sperm, dude. Like, I'm down.
Sorry.
I'm down with the sperm, okay? Orzo pasta, bitch.
You're gonna ruin
Orzo for me? Really?
Oh my god.
Really? Orzo pasta?
And it was like the first fucking sentence.
So, guys, if you're here, you've read the book, right? Sloane is a badass, okay? And she gets trapped in a cage. And dude, the way she's describing these Orzo pastas, this poor girl is starving. She's been trapped in this cage for 3 fucking days with no food or drink and a dead body. Okay, and she's like, oh, pasta. It's maggots!
You know what I thought about? I don't know who here has seen it. The fucking Lost Boys. When they take him and they get the Chinese food and he looks down and it's turned into fucking worms.
Oh my god.
You know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
No idea what you're talking about.
I think
about.
That's why it didn't disturb me, because I have physically seen adaptions of something like that happening. So like, I was just kind of like, oh, okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about. No, I'm dude, really scared.
I can't. Nope. Mm-mm, the Orzo got me. So much more than the sperm ice cream. Don't care.
I already didn't eat Orzo pasta because I already thought it looked like
So
thanks.
Did you guys love this book or hate this book? For me, obviously, it's a love.
Yeah.
Or are you guys like somewhere in the middle? You're a love. Thank you. Yeah.
I did love it. I really did.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend
it's
this
a soft love
to anyone.
Love.
Like, I would not. Well, I did recommend it to these two bitches, but because they know me, and this is the exact type of thing that they would expect me to recommend to them. But I wouldn't be like, if someone came up to me off the street and was like, oh, Amanda, you read, like, recommend a book to me. It would not fucking be this book, Bryn. Why would you do this? Oh, my God. I think you guys would love this book, though. Honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, you would probably enjoy the book.
It's a really, really well-written book. Like, it's very engaging. The characters feel very real. I feel like we should actually go through our call piles.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with the characters. Yeah. Liz, do you want to start?
Sure. So, let's talk about Sloane first of all, because I think the three of us can agree we're probably more connected to her than we are to Rowan. But Sloane is so fucking cool. Like, I don't know why the idea of a serial killer who's got the soul of an artist speaks to me. Like, I think I need to evaluate something about myself that I connected with that so much. But it was really interesting. And I loved watching her friendship with Rowan develop and her maybe being a little hesitant at like getting into the relationship. Like, it felt very natural. It felt the way that real relationships progress. And it felt the way that, like, almost similar to the way my relationship progressed. Like, I was best friends with my partner for years before we ever started dating. And I always had to like, he's hot, but I don't know. And you know, when it happened, it's great. So like, that was very relatable to me in a great way. I thought she was really, really cool.
Yeah. I think, so the only thing that really got me, I get like the Orb Weaver thing. So her name, like in the serial killer community, is the Orb Weaver. And when he calls her Blackbird, that just makes so much more sense to me. Like, I love Blackbird. I think it's really sweet though that that's just something that they share. So I like the Orb Weaver. I'll stick with it. But Blackbird, bro, that's perfect. It's beautiful. I love Sloane. Sloane is murdering people who have done horrific things to other people, like child molesters and like other murderers. I fucking love that. Yes, bitch. Get that justice. I loved Sloane's character. I loved how reserved she was with Rowan, and I loved her relationship with her best friend and like the things that she tried to like shelter her from. And when you read the second book, you're like, oh God, like, yeah. Wow. So Sloane was just incredible. The friendships were incredible. Rowan, though, we have to spend some time on that lovely Irish man. Oh, baby. Jesus Christ. I can't. Like, his voice, whoever narrated that book seriously deserves, like, a raise, because I was just like, shit. I was blown away. He's very, like, golden retriever who also murders, which is crazy, because, like, when you picture golden retriever, you're not thinking of, like, this big, broody, like, masculine man who's literally out there taking lives. That was incredible. When he, like, opened up to Sloane and told her that he killed his father because of, like, the abuse and everything, oh my God, I got, like, chills. I was like, wow. So he's also just, like, this complex character who's doing everything for his brothers, which was like, oh my God, stop, I can't. I loved him so much.
Yeah. He combined a lot of things that, like, I already liked, you know, like, morally gray, and then, like, the golden retriever, mm-hmm. and then, like, the protector, and, yeah, he was, like, you know, he was really complex as far as, like, male characters.
So before, like, I don't want to talk about the next book, the second book, that they're all out, actually. All three of them are out. Yes. I don't want to talk about them, but who was your favorite brother? Just from this book, Butcher and Blackbird, who was your favorite brother?
That's a hard question. I feel like you don't get a lot of information about the brothers, but just based on vibes, Lachlan.
I'm going Rowan. Even after, I know I said don't think about it, but like, even after knowing what I know in the second book, I'm still going Rowan.
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Pooh?
The first one was, I know I'm going to say his name wrong, Fiume. The younger,
I have no idea how to say it.
That little clip of him and Rose, I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, right there. But I think, like, after reading the second one, I've changed my guy, but I haven't read the third one yet, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but for me, Rowan was never the first.
Can I just say that, like, you need best friends who all have different tastes in men? The way that we each just said a different brother, this is how you stay friends, guys. This is how you stay friends.
We'd never go for each other's man.
No. We love them all.
Yeah, we do. They're great. But they're all very different.
They're even people, but I think that's part of what makes our book club so interesting, too.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's get into, like, the atmosphere and the setting.
Yeah.
It was dark. It was dark. It was crazy, but it was also still funny. Oh, I'm just going to keep talking about Rowan. Go ahead. Someone talk.
You know, I think I'm with Pooh when she said, despite this literally being a serial killer romance that centers around a game where they take turns, like, not even take turns, where they fight over killing a guy. I don't think this was dark at all. Like, I did not get dark energy from this book at all.
What a take.
I think it depends what you read. Like, I read, you know, dark romance. Oh, I have read some pretty sick shit.
You're telling us.
So, like, I read a book, like, I don't even, you know, like, it's, I shouldn't even talk about it. It's not even appropriate. And it, you know, like, it's nothing. I don't know. I guess, I think things, like, it also depends your level. Like, for me, I don't think murder's as bad as other things that I've read. I don't. There's other things that trigger me more than murder that I'm just, that's like, fair. Oh, okay.
Was the cannibalism, like, a lot for you? No, you didn't care?
It didn't really bother me.
What bothers you more?
Serial killer documentaries my whole life.
You're a true crime girl.
It didn't bother me. It's just, you know.
Mm-hmm. What bothers you more, the accidental cannibalism or the non-accidental?
I think the accidental. You know,
I'm the opposite.
I think if it's cut and dry and you know you're going to eat people, you're a bad person.
That's it. That's
you're
fair.
A bad person. Whatever. You know, like, it's whatever. Or maybe you're not. I don't know. I don't want
to. She's like, I'm not judging you, cannibals.
You're not killing the person.
Don't judging you. I'm judging the cannibals. I don't feel like that's a controversial thing to say.
No, wait, just, don't cancel me. Like,
I think cannibalism is wrong, guys. Sorry.
I think it's wrong, but, you know, like, it's not.
Pooh!
other thing.
No, it's not as bad if the person's already dead. It's bad if you murder them.
Oh my god. She's read, I'm guessing dead. It now. She's read Silence of the Lambs fanfic. Like, she's in there. Hannibal Lecter fan.
But no, I think the unintentional bothers me more because it's like the idea of, like, I don't know. I don't feel like me, myself, I would never. I couldn't imagine this, like, how sick I would feel after. Like, I would never get that feeling away, like, out.
Do you guys remember when the guy who Rowan was, like, working for, when he made that guy, like, eat his own flesh? Do you guys remember that?
The guy that Rowan was working for.
When he made Rowan eat?
Yes.
Yeah, when David when he made Rowan eat his own flesh. That triggered the
shit out of me. I'm sorry. That bothered me. It's one thing to eat other people's to eat
your I'm upset.
That fucking killed me.
To eat your own is
that
just like...
actually had me squirming. No, actually, I was like, I was not as bothered by like the
cannibal part. I think that triggered me more than anything else.
Until they made Rowan eat his own flesh, I was
like... And then
like,
he's like, it's gamey. I'm like, oh, that was just right now.
What the fuck, Bryn? That was so disgusting.
Oh my god. But you know what? I feel like... for most of the book, I was like, I joke about it being like, I read most of this book and I was like, this is awful. But I kept reading it. When I got to there, I was like,
that was the only part that I really
felt. I don't know if I like that. Like, it was uncomfortable. Like, but I think that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
She was like, what else can I throw at these readers? Like, fuck you.
So I think that's a great segue into her writing style.
Yeah.
Like, her writing style is so disturbed, but she makes fantastic characters. She makes characters that you fall in love with who are, like, the actual definition of Morally Gray. It doesn't get any more fucking Morally Gray than that. She makes these amazing characters.
Disagree.
Really?
So look, I know they're killers. But this, and we're going to talk about this when we get to logic too. I feel like you need to suspend some, like, reality for this book to work. Like, there are not that many serial killers running around. Like, this is not
that real. That we know of.
They were, like,
that there actually like is, thing. I forget the statistics. That are by, like, three, and you're like,
yes, oh, but prolific. Prolific. That are this prolific, that killed this many people. Like, it doesn't happen on this scale in real life. I'm not saying that it can't. People are sick and awful and horrible.
Calm down, people. Things. Calm down.
Yeah. But it's, you have to suspend some reality for this to work. At least for me, I did. So, like, the fact that they're serial killers, like, was never like, oh my god, they're killers to me. Because they're also this version of a serial killer that is perfectly mentally stable. And they're the kind of serial killer...
You thought they were mentally stable?
Yes! Because this whole time,
you thought they were mentally stable.
I don't disagree.
What?
Yes. I don't disagree. They, to me, had no mental trigger warnings.
No! They're, like,
moral warriors. Yeah, like, you could get through gore, and that says something about you.
Yeah.
But... I mean, mentally, like, you're not checked out. You never disassociated. Mm-hmm. You were there the whole time. You knew what you were
okay.
doing. You consented to everything you did.
Hold on, because Rowan was listening to her masturbate, and that was, like, really fucked up. That was, like...
Okay, what guy
really
would...
Really pervy. Okay, but it's still pervy.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, looking into her room. That's how he found the fucking... The guy staring in through the thing. He was doing that.
I don't know if it's because it's been a while, but the way I read that, it seemed like she, like, I don't know. It didn't bother me because it seemed like Sloane did that on purpose. Like, it was a trap. You, like, Sloane made it sound like she knew who he was.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember the specifics enough to chime in on that one.
Really? The way I remember it, I feel like she knew. It was him. She suspected, so she did it to track him.
Actually, I vaguely remember that, too.
He absolutely, you should not, like, fuck off.
Don't watch people masturbate.
Well, it doesn't matter what she does. You
know, unless they're okay with it.
Yes, it's consensual.
So he was wrong, but as far as, like, I don't know, she was putting on the show. Or at least that's the way I was presented to me. Like, she did it to track the guy that they were hunting down.
I actually remember that vaguely, but I don't remember enough specifics. I have to reread this book, man. Yeah. No. I need that Irish accent in my ear. But no, like, I feel like this whole time, they're serial killers, But they are killing the scum of the earth. They're killing child molesters and rapists and like cannibals who kill people for sport and then harvest the fresh meat and eat it to the person who died. Like, it's fucking, they're not killing people to kill people or like for any sort of sexual motive, which is like 99.9% of the reasons why most serial killers kill. Like, there's always something sexual to it. Like, they're killing people because they're bad people.
So are you talking about the logic or the writing style? Like, where does this fall?
I don't even know anymore.
So like the writing style,
kind of
pull
them a little bit.
I know. I think her writing style is unique, and I think it's really fucking fun to have a book this disturbing also be hot, like to also be sexy.
Oh my god.
What? To be disturbing, sexy, and hilarious, and also just make you love these characters and feel fondly for these characters. Like, that is a talent. That is talent, right?
Yeah, her writing style.
Yeah, I enjoyed her writing overall.
It was
good. I wouldn't say it was like earth-shattering or like anything. Nothing about it stood out to me other than I enjoyed it.
Well, I think it does stand out because when have you ever read, like, I'm an avid horror reader, right? So like I explore these like cannibalistic themes and a lot of the stuff that she did, but to make a book not be so heavy, because a lot of horror books can get like pretty heavy with stuff like that. So to make it not heavy, funny, and still be fucking sexy, that is
But I think
talented.
That's where the divide is. Because you thought of that as a horror book. I never once thought of that as horror. That was romance from the beginning.
Yeah.
And there to me, as far as romance
elements. Yeah. It wasn't like a horror book. That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
She can dabble in all of these different genres, right? Like, a lot of people would consider that dark romance. A lot of people would consider that dark romance. Especially, like, with the sex that they have, their background, and I think the piercings alone, like, and the special attention to the piercings, right? Like, I feel like that really makes it heavy dark romance.
I think you...
I don't know. I don't think
it was. I think we have very
different
definitions of dark romance than you do.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know. I thought it was like a triggering rom-com. I never...
Yeah.
I'm not labeling it just one thing. I'm saying that she dabbles in all of these different genres and puts them together into something that makes you feel a lot of emotions all at once throughout the book, which is really talented. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's exploring a bunch of different genres. This isn't one that you can just place into a thing. It's not a rom-com. It's not a horror. It's not a dark fantasy. It's not a romance. Like, it just explores all of these different genres that I personally enjoy that I thought was great. And you really can't pinpoint it down to one. Like, I'm not saying that this was the best dark romance, like, because it's not, right?
See, I don't know. I would point it down to just romance.
No,
I understand what you're saying. All the things she mentioned, but the focal point of the book.
You're shaking your head. You're agreeing with her.
I do.
It's not a romance.
Oh my god, it's a rom com.
What's their relationship? The whole point of the book was always their relationship.
Yeah.
So regardless of what she dabbled in, you know, and any dark romance, you cross boundaries. That's why they're dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes them dark. That's why they're not for everybody.
You bitches are insane. You bitches are insane.
I think it was a romance.
Yeah. So hear me out, Gamie.
No.
When you say... and the episode's over. So when you say dark romance, I feel like the way you define it has a lot more to do with character. I think from the way that Pooh and I are both talking, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you and I both define dark romance more by the setting and the overall feeling that the book gives you.
That's fair.
When I think dark romance, I think of, like, the world is over, it's the apocalypse, and only the survivors can live, or, like, shit like that, you know what I mean? Like, the world is dark, and, like, the shit they're dealing with, the themes are dark. I don't feel like there's a lot of dark themes in this, despite it literally being about serial killers. And I think you bringing up emotions was actually, it actually got me thinking. I think part of why I didn't, like, fall as in love with this as you did, is the whole time I was like laughing and I was amused and I thought it was charming. I didn't like fall in love with any specific aspect. I didn't feel like devastated. I didn't get a book hangover from this because I wasn't like, I was okay with the story being over when it ended. Does that make sense?
That's valid.
Yeah.
That's valid.
Yeah.
I didn't get the full range of emotions. I got a lot of really, really strong enjoyment and joy and like comedy out of this, and definitely some moments of disgust and some moments where I was like, oh my gosh, this is so sweet. I never thought that like the romance in a serial killer romance would be like some of the sweetest little date montages I've ever heard. Like the cooking thing that you talked about earlier off camera. So sweet. So sweet. I loved that trope.
For but reference, like, she's talking about Rowan sending a child to drop off groceries at Sloane's house and then them having cooking dates over the phone where he's
talking to you. To me though, even the way you describe dark romance for me is even slightly different.
What do you mean?
But I read a lot of dark romance. That's my genre. That's where I'm at.
So like tell us what your definition of dark romance is.
For me, dark romance is like the themes. I agree absolutely the themes, but like what you just said, like with him doing that, that's charming.
Yeah.
I still think that can happen in the dark romance.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't like, you know what I mean? I think I didn't think of this as dark romance because I didn't think of the characters as bad people, if that makes sense. You know,
interesting.
And I don't want to say bad people because I love all my characters in my dark romance books, but they cross boundaries. You know, there's one point where, you know, whether it be a queer or a straight romance, he did to her, she did to him, or, you know, whatever. There's always some point, I think, in a dark romance where you're, you know, you have to kind of, I feel like you have to hate your main character a little bit.
Can I change my answer?
And I never hated any of them.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of dark romances I've read that, like, there's at some point I've either hated her or him because something they did.
Some shit's fucked up.
That's fair. That's fair.
But that makes sex hotter.
Yeah, the sex is really good in that.
I will take that.
I honestly, yeah, like, I totally agree with you. I definitely, off the dome, said some shit about setting. And I think that is definitely part of it, the themes, but I think you're right. Like, I think for dark romance to be dark romance, it's got to be some boundary crossing. Yeah.
Very much, like, I think dependent on the characters.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I think the setting could be almost not important.
Interesting.
Because you can write, you know, I've read dark romances that were office settings, that were school settings,
yeah,
that were all these different taboo things, you know, nanny and all that stuff. And none of them are inherently, you know, dark at first, especially ones that don't, you know, just regular relationships that don't cross boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the characters and their actions that make it dark.
Yeah. Okay, I need a team poo flag. I think poo.
That was good. Yeah, I will take it. I have been silenced.
Fine.
Whatever. It's fine.
I think you just went to horror because it's your main genre.
That's which so is fair. There were horror elements.
You know, but to me, I
don't read dark fantasy or dark fantasy. I don't read dark romance unless you make me.
Oh, we could give you a couple.
No, I mean, she has, and I'm traumatized.
I don't give recommendations.
It scares people.
But no, like it wasn't bad. But that was like the last book that you recommended. I think it was like Does It Hurt? We read that one.
Yeah. I was just about to bring that up.
That like for me was my experience with like a dark romance. And you're right, like thinking about it, he did cross boundaries, so it was like, oh shit.
And I think like I think you can love dark romance and horror in the same way, depending. Like for me, I know like the horror books that I've read that I love are because the anxious feeling they give you, you know?
Yeah.
Like on the edge of your seat, your chest is pumping, but you can get that in a romance too. And it just, that's why I love dark romances. So I think like at some point for a dark romance to be good for me, I have to feel it. Like you have to make me anxious. You have to put me on the edge of my seat and not in a like, I'm anticipating what's happening way. More of like, holy fuck, what are you about to do? Because there's no way you should be doing it.
Ooh, that's a hot take. I feel like it's not that hot of a take, but it's a hot take for me.
That's fair. Did you guys have any highlights in this book?
Why can't I think of anything? Yes, I did. I really loved, I think I've mentioned this already, but I really, really loved their relationship. It felt very, very natural. I feel like, aside from the way they met, like, what are the odds of two serial killers showing up in the same place and, like, whatever. But, like,
in, like, saving her, too.
That was crazy. Yeah. But that goes back to the suspension of reality thing that's necessary for me. But, like, it's,
the bitch that reads fantasy books needs, like,
I need my magic systems to make sense, and I will die on that hill. Anyway, so Like, it's, it felt very natural. Like, their friendship felt like it would happen to any people who had similar hobbies. Like, they bonded over the shit that they have in common. Yeah. And their banter was so good. Like, I love the way they talk to each other. And it, like, it worked for me. Like, I, it worked having Rowan fall for her and, like, be there already and her having to catch up. But, like, once they got there, it was so good.
Yeah.
It, I liked it a lot. What do you think, Gammy? What were your highlights?
My highlights were him reserving a spot for her at the restaurant.
Yeah.
The entire time. Sweet. Like, just waiting for her to show up there. And when she finally did, like, oh, my God. That was, like... Oh, stop. I couldn't. That was amazing. And then when they finally have sex, dude, like, and he first sees her like completely naked, that was crazy. That was crazy. The smut in this book was really fucking good. And I usually don't like listening to smut because it usually I'm just like, ugh. Like, there are certain words that I cannot hear out loud. Okay. So like I try.
For those of you watching on YouTube, if you want to see something really funny,
please don't fucking do it. Because
pussy.
Oh my God, no. That is the worst fucking word. If you want to ruin any like romantic or like sexual encounter, say that word because...
Pussy.
Oh my God, I will dry up and go home, bitch. Fuck. Anyway, also in the end when they get the restaurant and they fuck in the restaurant, that was like
just the sex. That's
the
it.
Sex.
It was her highlight. Just my the sex.
Highlight.
They were both hot and they did hot things together when they took their
clothes. No, but hold on. When they were fucking in the restaurant and like you could see into the restaurant, like if they were focusing, dude, I fucking love that.
Mm-hmm. We love voyeurism.
I was about it.
I do have to say this is some of the best smut I've ever read. Yeah, like it was really fucking good.
It was really fucking good. Who? What were your highlights?
I don't remember having really that many, honestly. Like, as much as I love the book as a whole, I don't remember any parts really sticking out.
Semen ice cream?
I think it shocked me because I don't know, like, why. Like, logically, I know I sound wrong, but I did not think the next step from cannibalism was to eat semen. And I know that sounds like a step down.
Hey, Pooh, why don't you go ahead and tell me the logical steps that come after cannibalism?
She's obviously okay with cannibalism.
I would like to know.
I don't understand.
I just think I'm desensitized to it, but it was like the semen.
Why are you desensitized to cannibalism?
What the fuck kind of dark romance are you reading? Bitch, what
is
that?
No, I know my definition is so fucked up.
Right. I like serial killer stuff, and I like serial killer shows and stuff, so...
Oh my God. Then,
you know, I've seen a lot of...
Serial killing is not the same as fucking cannibalism, bitch. It's not the same as eating semen ice cream.
Yeah, but some of them, that's the point, you know?
Oh my God.
I think it's... I don't know, it was just odd to me. It felt... I don't know, it felt odd. It didn't bother me as much as it bothered everybody else. I was more of like, what was the point of this? You already had them eat the person. Like, what? This is not that important.
Well,
many people swallow semen all the time. It's not that important.
True, though.
This is from We're Horse Queen.
Someone has been having a little too much fun with our own ice cream maker at home.
Don't judge please them. Remind me never to accept ice cream from him.
Yeah, she's like, I wasn't surprised to do that shit at home all the time.
I'm not saying that. It was just
I get my protein in, bitch.
It just felt like a step down from eating flesh.
I guess
that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I feel like you should have maybe did that first.
That's fair.
Well, maybe they did. And it was just
maybe the freezer. That's why David was eating it.
Hold on, maybe. Semen ice cream actually tastes good. Hot take. Maybe it actually tastes good, and that's why they were like also making that.
It depends, though.
And that's how Gams was fired from the podcast.
I'm bringing you all dessert.
I don't know. It's been a while. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I feel like they explained him eating like a gallon.
Yeah, he was eating straight out like
a how much fucking semen did you put? You know what I mean?
He was pretending to be lobotomized.
If it was not a lot, you know? If it was a whole gallon, I don't feel like you would taste it if it wasn't a lot.
She's like, are there drips of semen in here? Is it all semen?
We have to stop. I'm trying really hard not to delve into this further. So I'm going to change the subject and we're going to move to the next section. I feel like we covered the logic fairly well. Yeah. Let's talk about plot, actually. Can we talk about the overarching plot? How did this work for you guys?
So you said it really well with like their natural friendship progression. I thought that was cool. I thought that it was overall the plot connected and it made sense. You had this woman who was killing people and she was trapped and was only found because she had gotten this guy first. You know what I mean? And so when Rowan showed up, like he was there to save her because that was his mark too. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was interesting that they made this like competition. The only thing that I didn't initially understand was the brother being able to like find these hits for them to kind of like battle for, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I almost feel like that was intentional though.
Yeah. It made sense too. For like the second book and everything. Yeah. But in this book, that didn't really like track well for me. I think that was like the only plot deviation that I really had. Other than that, everything made sense. Again, David, that was stupid. That was like, what is that? Like,
I just felt like it was obvious.
I'm with you.
That's the only part of the plot that I was just kind of like, why did you
I was like,
that?
What? Are they just going to have
for
this
me, I don't
man
know,
that they adopted?
The Lachlan thing actually didn't bother me then.
Oh, really?
Like, I thought it, like, once I, like, it made sense, but I also read it after the second one was already out. So I knew there was another book.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then it also, like, I've read a lot of Mafia stuff. So it made sense to me. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. Your brother's, like, his brother's Mafia. Connected. Okay.
Yeah.
Like either that or like some high government official, you know what I mean? It didn't really stick out to me. So I don't know. It didn't bother me that much, but the David thing was just absolute fucking trash.
Yeah.
It was so obvious.
Oh my God.
It was so obvious. It was just like,
he's gonna
we're
kill
gonna take
you.
Him home. We're gonna take care of him. Like, what the fuck? Are you stupid?
Yeah.
You cut people up.
That bothered me. Like that I understand wanting to take care of someone who you think was a victim, but like as two serial killers, how have these bitches not been caught yet? Like, they do this shit once a year, and, like, they connect themselves to the people they kill consistently. Like, whether it's through her taking the cat of that one victim, or, like, him taking David into his restaurant. Like, I feel like the dumb shit that these
people
do.
No one's asking questions.
Yeah, nobody asks any questions. The cops in this world are very negligent.
See, I did not think that was crazy, though.
What?
The cat, I definitely didn't think was crazy because some people have pets, you know, you never take a new vet. They never bother, like some negligent odors never bother. Some people take stray cats in, they just don't, you know, you might not have a registered animal. So that made sense. And even the David thing made sense because, you know, she obviously, like, I don't know, it seemed obvious to me, but it was obvious he wasn't lobotomized. But if you thought he, like, there was no reason for this man to give anybody any reason to guess about who was in his fucking home mm-hmm. because he's got people in there.
Yep. I have to argue with you on the cat thing, on the cat and the adopting the animal thing. So yeah, like people are negligent. They don't pay attention to their animals. Like that happens. It's a very, very unfortunate situation. But these are people. So the Orb Weaver and the Boston Butcher are both notorious serial killers. Yeah. They are known to the police. They stage their fucking kills. Like, these are not, like, they're intentionally found. Like, the police or whatever, whoever does this shit, like, they find these people intentionally. They knew they were killed, so obviously they're digging into their past. So why would you connect yourself to them in any way, shape, or form? That bothered me.
I have the talking dagger. I have the talking dagger. You will listen now.
I'm going to put that back on. I don't trust you with a naked blade.
The Boston Butcher? You mean a man who works and lives in Boston who has a restaurant? Like, doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Like, at least, like, Sloan's was, like, harder to figure out. Like, the Orb Weaver, where would that come from? But the Boston Butcher? Wouldn't that be the first place you look? Like, actual butcher shops or, like, restaurants or something like that?
I don't know. Like, unless it was only for the competition, but it was just like, why? I didn't understand the Boston.
No, like he's infamous.
Why pin him down to Boston if he kills in other places? I don't know. I felt like the name was I was a little upset about his name. Like I thought something more creative could have came. Like you go from the Orb Weaver to the Boston
mm-hmm.
really
the Butcher.
That was really upsetting to me because I am like deeply arachnophobic, and orb weaver spiders actually live in this area, and one consistently lives right outside my back door. So this whole time I'm reading it, like, fuck, orb weaver, fuck. Her name bothered me just because I know there is an orb weaver spider that lives right outside my door.
But I fucking loved her kills.
Oh, I did too.
Like the way she made the maps and like strung up their body parts and stuff. I was like, cool. This is fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, this was awesome.
It was really fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I don't like, and him, I don't know. Compared to her, he was so underwhelming because I don't even remember his signature.
She was better.
Yeah.
Like, she got most of the kills. She was better.
Mm-hmm. The thing, like, I remember about him was how stupid his name was.
Oh my God. So then I guess that can tie really well into our enjoyment. What do you think?
I really enjoyed this. I am not a big romance person, as I've said way too many times already on this podcast, but I actually really, really enjoyed this far more than I do the average romance.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. It was like a different... I've read a lot of rom-coms.
Fun is the right word. Fun is a good word.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't think... Nothing was explained particularly gory, mm-hmm. which is why I don't think it ever really crossed that boundary for me from like funny and comedy. So, but it was a fun read. I've read it all at once. I couldn't put it down.
That's a good sign. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed the audiobook, the narrators that did it. Hats off to you guys. You fucking killed it. That was incredible. That was great.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, does anybody want to redo the rating after thinking about it, or are we sticking?
Nope. I'm still five.
Good. All right.
I'm five.
4.2 solid from the three of us.
We got it.
That's a really solid rating from this podcast.
That is a pretty good rating, yeah. Especially for a book that, like, Liz wouldn't normally read. Like, mm-hmm. I'm surprised it got rated so high. That's good. Like, a three is pretty good. 3.5.
All right.
Butcher and Blackbird, babe. If you haven't read it, it takes a certain type of person to read this book, so don't go recommending it to your friends. And again, you've already made it through this podcast. Don't play this in front of your family.
Just don't. And just want to, like, real quick, if any of our family are listening to this, I'm sorry.
I'm not. You already know, bitch. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love you, babe. Thanks for listening to me talk about the Irishman.
Oh my goodness.
Appreciate it.
Alrighty. Yeah.
So you guys listening at home, did you read this book? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Did you get bothered by the semen ice cream? Or do you agree that people are just like eating this normally?
I don't think anybody was saying anybody eats this normally, Gammy.
Well, you guys let us know what you thought. We want to hear from you guys. So leave us some comments, send us some DMs. What did you think? And did you guys see the announcement that's coming out in April about her having a next series?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On her Instagram, she just mentioned. Yep,
she's starting a new one. So that'll be definitely interesting for us to check out in the future. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Sorry, this one was raunchy, guys. It was raunchy.
It was fucking bad. Off the rails.
This one was bad.
Some pretty crazy shit was said here today.
I have one more question for the listeners. Yeah, I want to know, what is your definition of dark romance?
Oh, good. That's a good question.
And who's your brother?
What?
I'm curious.
Oh, brother. Yes. Who's your favorite brother? Oh. Tell us. If you have read all... She's like, tell me who your brother is, like, bitch.
Tag your brother and say hi.
Does he have an Irish accent?
Tattoos.
Is he morally gray? And likes cannibalism? Oh my God. No, tell us who your favorite brother is. But don't let this second and third book sway your opinion, because we haven't reviewed those ones yet. I haven't even read the third book yet. The second one, but I haven't done the third one. So just let us know, based off of their very brief introductions in the first book, who your favorite brother was.
Yeah. And I would love to know how those changes people read the series, because they didn't really change for me.
Yes, they did not change for me. From the second
female main character changed.
Hot take, I hated the second book.
You're wrong.
I said it.
That didn't surprise me at all.
Loved the second book.
Didn't surprise me.
Hated it.
Like, yeah, I'm not shocked. This
is not her kind of. I understand, but this is, we'll get into that book and a whole other thing. Alrighty, I think that's all we have for today.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Leave us some comments, like, comment, subscribe, and reach out to us because we love hearing from you.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, we'll see you in the next
one. See you on the next one. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for sticking with us through this absolutely unhinged episode of Overbooked and Opinionated. But let's be honest, would you expect anything less from us at this point? As always, in May, we wear gray for M in honor of Brain Cancer Awareness Month. If you're able, please consider donating to the National Brain Tumor Society in support of M and everyone affected by brain tumors. You'll find the link in our show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, and even if you're still emotionally recovering, please consider leaving us a rating and a review and share the podcast with a fellow book club bestie. It seriously helps us grow this book club family more than you could ever know. You can keep up with us on Instagram. We are overbooked.opinionated. We're on TikTok at overbookedopinion. We are on Facebook, Overbooked and Opinionated. And we have a website, overbookedandopinionated.com, where you can find full episodes, our show notes, and some spicy little extras live there too. And now your final warning before we leave you this week. May your knives stay sharp, your trauma tastefully romanticized, and your enemies to lover tension always end in murder pacts and meaningful eye contact. See you next Thursday, book clubbers.